Hey, it's good to see you. Good to be here today. Do you usually start off with prayer? Anybody need prayer? Okay. Why don't we pray? Is there anybody especially we need to be praying for today? We'll pray for everybody then. Almighty Father, as we come to you, we're grateful to be together. Father, we can honor you, and we do that. And we honor you through Christ, thanking you so much for what happened at the cross and the impact that that makes on our lives. Help us to realize that today, Father, that we live by faith and we follow you. And when we do that, that brings about a serenity and a peace that surpasses all things. Help us to realize that and appreciate that today as we honor you and praise your holy name. Be with all those that are here, all those that couldn't make it for one reason or another, for everybody here in Lebanon County, in the Northeast, around the world that need to hear the gospel. Father, we honor you and pray your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Is this where I... Where do you stand? That's a little bit cockeyed. Okay. There's a lectern. I knew if I looked around enough, I'd find something. Okay. Since I'm up here, this is my qualifier. Oh, my qualifier is not in this Bible. All right, wisdom that works. That's probably the best definition of a proverb. Usually the Bible dictionary definition of a proverb is a short, pithy saying with a sharp, pointed result that comes from the truth. Now, it's wisdom that works. It goes deeper than common sense. It's spiritual sense, okay? Let me peek you today. What does the word worry, W-O-O-W-O-R-R-Y? I can't even spell right. I don't spell right. What does worry mean to you? Yeah, overly concerned. How overly concerned, Roger? What would you consider to be worry in your life? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm concerned too, okay? Bible says fear not. I guess it uses the word fear instead of worry, right? And, of course, there's 1 Peter 5:7, cast your what? Cares upon them. Some translations have the word worry in there. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. The interesting thing is the way the Bible looks at this, it's interesting because Peter uses an interesting word there. There's about a half dozen words that would fit in there in the original. But the one he has, it's used of a hummingbird or, you know, anything that's real tiny and flies, you know, and they have to keep the wings going. It's like me. If I had to fly, I'd want big wings and I want them going pretty good, right? The thing about it is that this fluttering type of thing. So that's a key in there, okay? Worry. We get concerned about things, okay? But when do our concerns turn into worry? I think Roger answered part of that. When I know you're concerned about the election, you're concerned about taxes, you're concerned about this, about that, the economy, everything else like that. But when I think Roger dealt with that a little bit with his answer about worry. It's like when it becomes something that involves you on that thing, okay? Well, when does worry produce fear then? See, excellent answer. Your name again?
Eleanor.
Now, Eleanor, that was before my time. I may be old, but I'm not that old, okay? I'll have trouble remembering that. Yes, ma'am. I've been instructed here today. Okay. Worry produces fear when it replaces faith. That's what you're saying, and that's the issue. So if we're going to talk about serenity, having a peace that passes understanding, see, that's where I'm going. Because you're saying, well, Bill, we're New Testament Christians. What are you doing back in the book of Proverbs? Well, book of Proverbs basically sets the scene for a lot of the principles we find throughout the rest of the Bible. It's interesting. I challenge you, too. It's interesting. Proverbs has 31 chapters. What does the longest month of the year have as far as days? 31. Okay. There you go. Hey, if you want to do Proverbs sometime, be my guest, okay? Some of these scriptures there, we can go to the next slide on this. In Philippians 1:28, Paul says, "And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God." I got a little saying I keep in my desk. A Christian is like tea. His real strength comes out when he's in hot water. And this is what Paul's saying here. This is a key idea. When things get real tough, that means we just crank up our faith. But some people say, well, things are getting real tough, and I don't know whether I'm going to make it or not. So that's when the fear starts creeping in. Another key passage there, Matthew 10:28. Jesus is saying, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. If we had more time and we go into detail on this, I sincerely believe Freud did a bad number on people. Fear is a bad thing. No, it's not. If I fear God, if I reverence him, I don't have to be afraid of anything else. Think about that. That's a key idea. But the idea here is that we want a solution to fear. We want a solution to doubt. And that's what we'll get today when we get to Proverbs. Luke, the 12th chapter and verse 4, "I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more than they can do." That's true. Think about that. There's a acquaintance of mine, it goes back a ways, Alvin Bryan. He is doing a gospel meeting in Houston, Texas. And this will tell you how long ago this was. They just got done the Astrodome. And so he was preaching there in the south side of Houston. And he is walking around the Astrodome, and he's just imagining and praying and saying, "Lord, wouldn't it be great if we could hold a gospel meeting in the Astrodome?" And he was doing that. All of a sudden, out of shadows, he saw a glint of a blade. And here comes this guy. And he threatens him and says, "Your money or your life?" And he said, "Oh, you can't threaten me with that. The Lord's got it in hand. And he pulls out his wallet, gives him some money, and gives him a tract and starts preaching to him. Guess what the guy did? Did a 180 and start running away. He's running after the guy. He tried to preach the gospel to him. Why? He knew the perspective of life. We need to understand that. Proverbs 29:25, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." The word safe there means comforted, strengthened. We need that. Well, let's go to the next slide there. How should we overcome worry with peace? Go on to the next one there. In looking at Proverbs 3:5-6, this is from the New King. I don't know what translations you guys go off of. I'm a New King James guy. NIV? Okay, well, NIV is close enough here. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Okay, go to the next one. Four verbs are found in here. All of them are imperatives or commands. Well, what does God want us to do? Number one, we trust him. Number two, we lean on him. And that word's not very descriptive. It just means, yeah, okay, you know, I'm resting on that, okay? The third one there, the idea of acknowledging. And we'll go through these words in detail in just a little bit. And the final one is direct. And these are important. Now, on this whole thing, and this is where our Christianity comes right down to our basic roots, okay? If you're living your life today, Our part is, I need to trust God. I do not need to lean on or depend on my own knowledge. Okay, and we'll get into that word in just a moment too. If I do that, if I depend upon God, He directs where I go. He directs what I do. These are important things. So that's our part. We trust, don't lean, we acknowledge. God directs, okay? Any problems with that? I mean, that's pretty straightforward. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. That's important. Are you guys adverse to memorizing Scripture? Okay, think about this. Let's repeat this. Trust in the Lord. Boy, you got a trust issue going already. Trust in the Lord. Oh, now you're giving it to me, right? How? With all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He should direct your paths. Okay, there'll be a test on this, by the way. No, at the end. Okay, so there's a key in here, though. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Okay? In all your ways, trust in Him, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Your. Is it interesting? Now, okay, I'm not going to try to get too technical on this, but, you know, if you're looking at something really in detail, you ought to start dealing with the language a little bit. And in Hebrew, personal pronouns aren't used all that much. This one has four of them. Your. Why do you think that's so? Hint. He wants you to take it personally. Okay. Trust in your heart. No. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. The issue is God wants us to personally understand this. I have to trust in Him. I have to depend upon Him. A lot of us think, well, that's sort of an automatic thing. It's like when we're baptized, somebody flicks a switch and all of a sudden I'm going to trust in God. Let me tell you something, okay? This is way back in 1900 and I forget. No, 1971 I was baptized into Christ. They had a campaign for Christ there in Pittman, New Jersey on August the 5th. I was looking for the New Testament church, by the way. Isn't that an interesting quirk? Okay, I just wanted to be a Christian. I was looking for that. And so, you know, the guy came around to study, and here it was. You can identify with this, I had a brown paper Acme sack. Acme, right? You had them around here too, didn't you? I had my old fishing clothes on. I knew I needed to be immersed. I knew I needed to be immersed for the remission of sins. So that's my first thing. A guy came in there, John Fortner. He, by the way, is a professor of Hebrew at Harding University right now. And he came down there, and he had these salvation sheets that Owen had, Owen Albright, and went through this. I said, well, we didn't get to the salvation sheet. I said, hold it for a second, okay. How do you consider yourself to be a church? Well, you know, we're trying to be a body of Christ. I said, are you trying to be the church that talks about the New Testament? Because I only see one body in there. I'd already gone through Ephesians 4. I said, I want to be baptized in that one body. I realized that because I looked back in Acts. I understood that. I need to be baptized so my sins could be forgiven. I also realized it is because of Jesus in Romans 6. And he said, oh, sure, I was baptized into Christ. He's a little bit stunned because of all this. I threw him a curveball, though, because he is asking me, what do you do? I said, well, I'm going for my master's degree. In what? In music. What type of music is that? I'm an instrumentalist. His face dropped. I wondered why. I'm like, I understand all about that right now. Matter of fact, the Lord has some interesting ways that he puts us in places and with certain people. That's another story. But the point of all this is, that night, I was full of joy and full of apprehension all at the same time. Why do you think the apprehension was there? I don't know how I'm going to live this thing. I was going to go to school, and I was going to work. I was doing shift work. I was an assistant manager at McDonald's. My best friend and his dad ran and owned 4 units across South Jersey. So my Sundays were spoken for. I figured out, I got to make it to services. I got to be with the brethren. I hope you think that way too. That's why you're here, right? How in the world am I going to do this? I didn't realize God was working that out already. And it worked out. But it's like, I thought, man, I just didn't have the answers. Somebody didn't give me the follow-up course on faith. I know I believed enough to be a Christian, but I need some faith to keep being a Christian. You don't have any problems like that, do you? Yeah, be honest. You do, okay? Let's keep looking at this real carefully, because the more we dig into this, the more we're going to understand this. Go ahead on that, okay? The whole structure of this thing is interesting. The main idea, trust in the Lord with all your heart, trust in the Lord without any reservation, so that he'll do what? See, when you have Proverbs like this, and it goes from a starting statement and it keeps working its way down, the first real statement and the last real statement are actually designed to plug together, okay? The other things, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Well, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him. He shall direct your steps, your paths. Okay, the first and the last one, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and he shall direct your paths. Okay, that's really the key. Now, it's enough to say we know it. How many believe that to where you practice it every single day in your life? I remember years ago, matter of fact, they still wear them. They used to have these little bracelets there, the plastic ones, you know, the stretchy ones they put on there. And a lot of them had WWJD. What would Jesus do? Based on a little fictional book. Well, really, it's based on something that's at the very end of 1 Peter, the second chapter. But In His Steps was the name of the book by Charles Sheldon. Fictional book about a group of people met to study together, and they sort of came upon this verse, and one wondered, okay, in any situation in life, we will ask this question and act accordingly. What would Jesus do? I think that's a good idea. That's really what I'm talking about today in the lesson, in the sermon. What would Jesus do? And these are key ideas. Think about that. What would Jesus do? And this is the idea. Now, how do you put this into practice? Well, the negative, don't depend on your own understanding. That's why there's a contrast there in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Okay? By the way, the word for understanding there actually is talking about perception. We'll deal with the specific words in a second. But I need to throw that in there, okay? You can go on to the next slide there. The positive, by the way, after we left that, is you need to acknowledge him, okay? The key words here, let me go through these not quickly, but to deal with them in perspective. Number one, trust. The word trust means to literally prostrate yourself. You cast all your hopes on him, okay, for the present and future, okay? I think that was an amen, right? Okay. Look at the scriptures there in Proverbs 11:28. Same word for trust there. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful idea there. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. Do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Somebody must have just paid taxes there, didn't they? Here today, gone today. Okay. Another one there in Proverbs 3, 21 through 23. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. By the way, every time he says, my son, we know it's Solomon writing this. Who's he talking to? Definitely. Secondary, he's talking to Thomas, he's talking to Bill, he's talking to everybody. But originally when he was writing this, who was his son? Who became king after Solomon? Begins with R. Excellent. Rehoboam. What did Rehoboam do? Boy, he was one of the wisest kings. No, he was a wise guy. He wasn't a wise king, was he? He didn't listen to the counsel of the elders there, did he? Solomon's cabinet said, hey, hold it for a second. We've been taxing people big time. Solomon built. And it's like, whoa, that's enough. The people say, hold it. We've given too much. And Rehoboam said, well, hold it, you know. I'll go back and consult with my peers on this. Big problem there. And what did he do? He said, hold it for a second, okay? You think my dad hit you with whips? I'm going to put scorpion's tails on those things, you know? It's like, that didn't go over too well. Matter of fact, the nation divided. It split. 10 northern tribes went with somebody by the name of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. He took them off into idolatry. Rehoboam, well, it was Judah and Benjamin, what's left of Benjamin. This whole book's written to him. My son, also written to us, right, Thomas? My son. Here's the key to all that we're talking about today, okay? The door to your heart unlocks with the key of faith. God cannot, will not force any of you to do something against your own will, your volition. You do it because you want to, okay? I want to try to convince you it's the right thing to do. I can't force you to do it. What if I did force you? What's the problem with that? Let's say a shotgun wedding. Son, you're going to marry my daughter. Okay, what happens when the gun's gone? The marriage is gone too, isn't it? Okay, that's the problem with force. Force versus conviction. We need conviction on these things. Trust, a key. Prostrate yourself. Cast all your hopes on him. Next one, by the way. Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, the covenant description of God. Heart, your inner being, it's the seat of your emotions or desires, your intellect, your will. To the Hebrew mindset, the heart was it. That's the controlling factor, okay? Matter of fact, when Jesus was asked by that lawyer, okay, what's the number one commandment? What was the response? Jesus said, you shall love the Lord with all your what? Heart, mind, soul, and of course, Luke adds in there strength, doesn't he? Okay. But he puts heart first. Why? He understood what these guys are thinking about. It's like, okay, you've got to love God with all your heart. Well, isn't that what it says there? That's the important thing. Heart is important. Understanding. It's from the word to perceive, okay? In other words, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. What's the problem that we have? Do we always see things the way that we need to? No, Give you, for instance, flip back in the book of Proverbs for just a moment. Let me see here. I've lost it. This happens when you get older, you know. Well, I'll come back to that. That's a proverb that I had tucked away up here, and I forgot book, chapter, and verse. The proverb is this, and I forgot the number. He who gives an answer without knowing or without knowledge, to him it is foolishness. Is that 22 or 21? See, my wife's my rolling concordance there. She's flipping through. Everybody's flipping through there. See, I got you to study your Bible, even though I forgot it, right? 18:13. Yeah, I knew she had it marked. I didn't. Proverbs 18:13. See, I had it reversed. I was thinking 13:18. I got it. He who answers a matter before he hears, it's a folly and shame to him. Do we understand everything all the time? Answer, N-O. Okay? Boy, I wish I had understanding discernment about what's coming up with this election thing, don't you? Anybody see a real funny movie, although I saw on TV, because like the movies had a lot of bad language in it, but there's a movie there about Richard Pryor, Brewster's Millions. Anybody remember that? It's about this. He was sort of this half son of this billionaire, and the billionaire wants to cure him of having to get so wrapped up with money. So he gave him $1 million. Yeah, I spent $1 million. I think was it a year? No, it was a month, wasn't it? And guess what he does? The easiest way to spend a lot of money is what? Get into politics. What is it? Between the two candidates, I think, okay, Trump's got over quarter of a billion in the thing. And I think Hillary and the Democrats put in over $333 billion. That's a lot of money. I don't know about you. They don't have any ads here about the Pennsylvania senatorial race, do they? Oh, old Pat and Kathy. Boom, boom, boom. I'm sick and tired of this. Okay. Brewster's Millions. Well, guess what? Old Brewster decided he'd get into politics, but guess what his moniker was? None of the above. Don't vote for anybody. Maybe that's, I don't know if that's the answer or not, but boy, I'll tell you something, okay? A lot of people get frustrated. It's like, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? And you keep praying to God. You think, okay, what do I need to do? What about Christian principles? What about values? Boy, they've been going out the window pretty quick, haven't they? Human understanding. God understands, we don't, brethren. Go ahead. Lean, look for assistance or support from another. Man says, why trust you can when you can worry? A lot of people are comfortable with that, aren't they? Okay. Matter of fact, when something happens, we sort of jump to conclusions. Give you a scenario, okay? There's one time Lynn was away, she was somewhere for the evening, and really the one time I really worried, you and the kids were out at the Air Force Base. We used to be up in Rome, New York, and they had an air show there. They would bring in the Thunderbirds or the Italian team. They've since disbanded that Frecce Tricolore, you know. That's for the three-colored flag they had, you know, white and orange and green. They wouldn't bring in the Navy for obvious reasons. It's an Air Force base. She was there, took the kids there, and I was waiting at home for her to come back from the air show. What happened was that it had a cloud burst over on the base there, not where I was, but where she was. And just as the Thunderbirds got done their show, it's like everybody emptied out. I mean, you're talking about 30, 40,000 people all trying to get out of there at once. She got stuck in there. 1 hour turned into 2 hours, turned into 3 hours. We didn't have cell phones back then. That was back when they had security fences for dinosaurs, right? I was really concerned about that. Albert Ellis, who used to be a psychologist of note up at Harvard, coined a word for that. When you're waiting for somebody and you think, what if something happened? It's called awfulizing. I could just imagine her and the kids, the car wrapped around the tree, the flames starting to spurt out from the gas tank, the whole bit like that, okay? Now, some people are so drastic on that, they automatically turn into that. But the thing is, okay, I need to understand something, that God's got control of her, me, everyone else. What does your Bible say? Romans 8:28. First three words, for we know. What do you know? That God causes all things to work together for good. To those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. For we know. Okay, you can know that, but do you believe that? That's the key to all this. That's the key. All right? We need to acknowledge or recognize that God's doing there. The word direct there, it means to make smooth, straight, right. Without getting into the details of the language, the verb form is intensive. It means this is the key. God will direct it. I don't care what God does to straighten it out. He's going to straighten it out. For we know what? That God causes all things to work together for good. To those that love him, to those that are called according to his purpose. You say, well, Bill, why are you emphasizing this so much? Because I say I believe it and I don't practice it. And you do the same too. If you're honest about this, we do this too. Back to our verse again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, what? Acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. That feels pretty good when you think about it. Do you know what's going to happen the rest of today? I have the faintest idea. Well, hopefully I'll get up there and the Lord will let me preach to you. And we'll remember what Christ did on the cross and we'll try to encourage one another. And you know, I hope we make it home to Sealands Grove tonight. I hope you guys make it home safe and sound, but there's no guarantee about that, is there? So you can do one of two things. You can sit here and worry about, oh man, life. Wonder what traffic's going to be like on 422 today. Ooh. Oh, is there going to be a car wreck on I-81? Oh, you know, 322 going to be blocked with a tractor trailer. Oh, no, I don't worry about those things. God's got that covered. I just live my life and I try to live by faith in him. Oh, before I forget, flip her over one. Here it is. Here's the application. Total trust leads to total dependence, which leads to total assurance. Remember this. Total trust leads to total dependence, which leads to total assurance. What's that song go? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. How do we do that? Oh, boy, oh, boy. God, you got it covered. Matter of fact, here's how we live it. This is the New Testament parallel to what we just looked at. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We all know it by now, don't we? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on what? Your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Here's the New Testament equivalent, one of my favorite sections in Scripture. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say rejoice. I'm going to give you a new American standard here. Let your forbearing spirit be made known to all men. It's your patient spirit to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious in nothing. In other words, stop worrying about stuff. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses understanding, New American Standard, comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word guard there means to set a secure perimeter, a military term, garrison, might be even a better word. Man, can you imagine somebody coming, you know, USA's under attack, and then all of a sudden you hear the rumble and here's all these M1s coming around there. The Abrams tank, man, oh boy, that 155 millimeter barrel looks awful good when it's pointed at the enemy, doesn't it? Oh boy, that's neat. Hey, we're safe, we're secure. You were that way before the tanks came, if you think about it. God will take care of you. That's the preamble for what we're talking about in class, in the lesson today. We're going to talk about thinking, because it takes thinking to do this, okay? If this happened automatically, then I wouldn't even have to talk about it. Think about it. If this just popped in, oh yeah, Lord, I trust in you with all my heart. I don't lean on my own understanding. I have acknowledged you in everything. I know you direct my paths. No, why are they imperatives there? Because you need to know what you need to do. Period. That's important, brethren. You know, if we had that type of faith, we're going to start filling seats up in here. You know what? Our friends are going to be looking at us and say, wow, how'd they do that? Matter of fact, I knew a couple in Chatham, New Jersey, and we were there at the church for a seminar way back. And we were staying with them. That was when I was up there with Ed Lynn. And there was a couple that they were real close to, and I said, boy, you're really good friends with them. I said, yeah, they're our next door neighbors. And he said, wow, that's neat. He said, yeah, we just baptized them a couple months ago. How do you do that? Of course, preachers always looking for this. How do you do it? What's the key? Everything else like that. They just saw us living our Christian lives and said, I need that. I want that. How do you do that? Of course, I said, well, let's wait a while. No, it's like, yeah, open your Bible. We're going to tell you how this thing works. Brethren, this is Christianity 102. 101, obeying the gospel, honoring God, doing what's right. 102, applying it to life. You got to do this. Total trust leads to total dependence, leads to total assurance. We need that, because I'll tell you something. You walk out that door when everything's said and done today, and it's going to be up to you how you think, how you live, and what type of example you're setting. I want to lead people to Christ. And I'll tell you something, okay, winning the intellectual argument does not make it for a lot of these people. They have problems. They need Jesus. They need hope. They need God. If we show them the way, they'll come. Thank you.